Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
As sports keeps coming back, so does your chance to bet on them with our exclusive wagering partner, BetOnline.ag. Major League Baseball's back, and BetOnline has all the odds, futures, and props for you to bet on. Also, tune in as Floyd Money Mayweather joins the BetOnline team in a new segment called The Ice is Right. Visit BetOnline.ag today to check out all the odds and up-to-date sports news. And don't forget to sign up and take advantage of all the welcome back to sports bonuses. BetOnline, your online wagering experts.
You are listening to The Bird Calls on the Armchair All-American Network. For more on your Pelicans, go to iTunes, search The Bird Calls, and subscribe today. What's up, Pels fans? Welcome to another episode of the Bird Calls podcast. I'm your host and contributor to thebirdwrites.com and Bleacher Report, Preston Ellis. Today, we are previewing the first of two critical matchups with the Sacramento Kings. To do it, we welcome on host to Locked On Kings and Sacramento Sports Radio 1140KHTK, Mr. Matt George. What's going on, Matt?
It is a pleasure to be able to join you. I wish I could say that I was in a good mood to be talking to you today after the result that the Sacramento Kings just had with the Dallas Mavericks and their 0-3 start. But it's a pleasure to join you. Always happy to talk hoops, and I'm just happy that we have our sport and our game back.
Yeah, I appreciate it too, and everything the NBA did to pull this off. It's truly incredible. And now that it's here, we finally have basketball. And before we get to the Kings, because I know it might be a somber topic for you right now, but just in terms of the visual pleasure that comes with this new product, what do you think of it so far?
It's not as good as being in an arena with 17,000 fans and being able to watch it that way. But all things considered, I've been thrilled by the presentation by the NBA. It sounds really natural. It feels natural. And ultimately, the goal is, once you get past the opening tip-off, basketball is what matters. And I think that's translated really, really well so far. I'm anxious to see how that continues through actual legitimate 7-game or 4-plus game playoff series here coming up in a couple of weeks. But overall, I could not be more pleased with how everything has worked out. The NBA should be very, very proud.
Now, it's worked out great for the Pelicans because they had the easiest remaining strength of schedule, and that's reflected in these 8 seeding games. However, it's difficult to juxtapose where these teams were 4 months ago to where they are now. The Kings had won 7 of 10 games. I don't remember specifically. There were 3 big ones. I think the Clippers were one of them. The Blazers were another one. There were 3 really big wins out of that 7, and you guys were rolling at just the right time. And on March 11th, you're scheduled to play the Pelicans in a later matchup. I think it was around 9:30 Eastern time. And of course, that was postponed due to Rudy Gobert's positive coronavirus testing. In terms of where you were then, do you feel that's reflective of how the Kings have performed thus far through these 3 games?
Oh, absolutely not. The Kings might as well be a completely different team. Now, they've had flashes. Today's game against the Mavericks was the first time they looked somewhat similar to that. But the Kings were the second hottest team in basketball. The Lakers were the only team that had a better record than them. After their worst loss of the season at the hand of the Detroit Pistons, over their next 20 games, they won 13. So they were playing much better basketball. Ken Bazemore and Alex Len had proved to be fantastic additions for the Kings. That game that was postponed and stopped, the Kings-Pelicans from the Golden 1 Center national TV game, that was supposed to be the return as well of Rashawn Holmes to the starting lineup, and the Kings are thrilled to have him back as he's been one of the Kings' best players, at least during the regular season before he had gotten hurt and injured his shoulder. But now here we are. With the exception of Marvin Bagley, the Kings are completely healthy and colossally underperforming from what our expectations were in the bubble. We knew it was going to be an uphill battle for them to try and make the playoffs, but none of us predicted an 0-3 start featuring a loss to the San Antonio Spurs where DeMar DeRozan didn't care for the first 3 quarters, a blowout loss to the Orlando Magic, yeah. And then your best game, you have the opportunity to beat Luka Doncic and the Dallas Mavericks, a game that you led basically from start to finish, with the exception of being down 2-0 at the beginning of the game. And you choked that game away and ended up losing in overtime. It's been a really, really, really difficult week for Sacramento Kings fans who have already been through hell, having not made the playoffs in 14 years. And in a way, it's just icing on a very, very pathetic, sad, disgusting tasting birthday cake. And it's Kings basketball in a nutshell, unfortunately.
Oh my God, you poor guy. We sympathize. Truly, we do. After last year, everything that happened with Anthony Davis and the expectations that went into this season, the injuries that happened to Zion Williamson, it's not always great to be a Kings fan or a New Orleans Pelicans fan. So we truly do sympathize. However, you do have one bright spot, and that is in the form of De'Aaron Fox, who, unlike Samson, cut his hair and seemingly got better. 26.7 points, 6 assists, nearly 50% from the field. He doesn't like the three ball. I think he's shooting just 20% through these three games. However, we're going to do our stat of the day from B-Ball Index. He's getting to the rim at a 98th percentile grade. He's drawing fouls at an 89th percentile grade and 87th percentile in total isolation impact. So he's been very impressive at getting to the rim, seemingly against anybody. Talk about his performance through these three games thus far.
De'Aaron Fox is a star. He gets better and better with each passing week, each passing month. He's grown as a leader. He's grown as a scorer. He's grown as a facilitator and a distributor. Defensively, he still has more to grow there. But when he is on his game defensively, he can be one of the most annoying and just distracting defenders for any ball handler to have to go up against. De'Aaron is a star. And if he were in LA or a big market, you'd hear a lot more about De'Aaron Fox than you do here in Sacramento. It's unfortunate that he is the leader of just a very, very bad team in a franchise that has been struggling for years upon years upon years. But scoring a career high 39 points against the San Antonio Spurs to open up bubble play, I mean, I've never seen it look so easy for him. He was getting to the rim at will. Now, Derek White, to his credit, did actually a really good job defending De'Aaron. And when I think Derek White was on De'Aaron, Fox went just 1 of 7, although a lot of those shots were rhythm three-pointers that just didn't drop for him, as that's part of his game that he's continued to try and work on and improve. But De'Aaron, he can get to the rim at will. He can get anywhere that he wants on the floor. Now, he did have trouble scoring at times in this game here today, with Kristaps Porzingis just looming in the paint. Also with Nikola Vucevic with the Orlando Magic. When there's bigs in the paint, Fox doesn't have as much freedom and ability and opportunity to score as he normally would. But against a team that went small like San Antonio, there's nobody that could stop Fox. Even though he took 30-plus shots to get those 39 points, he was aggressive, and the Kings are only going to go as far as De'Aaron Fox takes them. So as disappointed as Kings fans are, and I am, with how this team has performed, De'Aaron has been fantastic, inspirational in a lot of ways, and more than exciting, or he gives you more than enough excitement for his future. I honestly think if this continues, De'Aaron Fox will be an all-star next season, or at the latest the next season.
Yeah, I wrote about this for Bleacher Report. I don't remember specifically what his regular season numbers were. I apologize for that. But of them, through points, assists, and rebounds, he was the only player to reach those thresholds without earning an all-star nod. Of course, he's been fantastic, but I want to talk about some of your role players. Bogdan Bogdanović, of course, he was forgettable today, shooting just 1 of 15, including what could have been the game-winning shot near the end. He's shooting just 30.2% from the field, although he is shooting very well from three, I think around 39%. Buddy Hield has been equally unimpressive, 13 points per game on just 32.6% through these three games. However, I want to rewind back to our matchup. I want to say it was on January 4th. I think it was that two-pointer that J.J. Redick hit at the buzzer. And I want to recall that because Harrison Barnes simply killed us. I think he had 30 points on something like 10 to 15 shots. He was absolutely lethal. He got to the foul line a lot. He just killed the Pelicans. Do you have confidence that he can do the same thing in another matchup against them?
Not high confidence. Every once in a while, Barnes will have those breakout games, and when he's hitting from the outside, he can be very involved. But the Kings view him more as a wing defender more than just a scorer. Now, he's capable of scoring, like Pelicans fans will remember from earlier on this season, which feels like years ago, of course. But Harrison Barnes can have those breakout games. I wouldn't expect it. He scored, I think, 8 points here today, was barely involved on the offensive end of the floor. So it could happen. It could not. I would honestly lean towards the unlikely that Barnes has another breakout game like that. Certainly not 30 points.
Oh, God.
Those are the screams I used to make when I'd cut myself shaving you know where. But that was before Manscaped. Thanks, Manscaped, for turning my loud shrieks into multiple peaks. Look, who here doesn't get nervous about grooming their man parts? And that's why Manscaped created the Lawnmower 3.0, beautifully designed to reduce those painful nicks and tugs. The Manscaped engineering team obsesses over technology developments to provide you with the best tools for your family jewels. So many people have written in stories about how the Lawnmower 3.0 has changed their lives. They even included pics so I could see the smoothness for myself, and they aren't kidding. Get 20% off plus free shipping with the code ARMCHAIR at manscaped.com. Your balls will thank you. As sports keeps coming back, so does your chance to bet on them with our exclusive wagering partner, betonline.ag. Major League Baseball's back, and BetOnline has all the odds, futures, and props for you to bet on. Also, tune in as Floyd Money Mayweather joins the BetOnline team in a new segment called The Ice is Right. Visit betonline.ag today to check out all the odds and up-to-date sports news. And don't forget to sign up and take advantage of all the welcome back to sports bonuses. BetOnline, your online wagering experts.
Okay, now the Pelicans aren't used to blowing teams out, and they've performed very poorly in the clutch. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but that matchup against the Memphis Grizzlies where they were able to pull away late, getting some timely baskets from Zion and Brandon Ingram was necessary to do so. But in those games where you get inside the final 5 minutes, and a lot of it comes down to coaching, to Luke Walton, to simply just closing out games on the offensive and defensive end, how do the Kings respond in those scenarios?
Well, today was dreadful. The Sacramento Kings, and this is something that they've done for years, regardless of player, of coach, or of general manager. Years upon years of the Kings doing something for 40 to 45 minutes that's been working and then completely going away from it when it matters most. What I'm talking about is running off-ball screens for Buddy Hield or Bogdanovich, even though Bogey had a bad shooting game. Moving the ball around, going inside out, outside in, setting pick and rolls, just basic basketball and offensive flow that was working for the Kings literally from start to finish in this game. Now their shooting percentage and assist numbers steadily dropped with each quarter. They started out the game, they hit 9 three-pointers in the third quarter. I think, or rather first quarter, they hit 7 for the remainder of the game. So their shooting percentage struggled as the game went on, but we got down to the final few possessions and normally it's the Kings are able to score, but they're not able to get a stop. This time it was the Kings were able to get 2, 3, 4 stops in a row against a Mavericks team featuring Luka freaking Doncic, but they could not get a big bucket. Why? Because they were settling for isolation plays, tough shots, and they really made life easy for the Dallas defense. It was one guy dribbling, typically De'Aaron Fox, and 4 guys either in the corner or just standing out of the way watching. And it's something that's plagued the Kings for many, many years, something that Luke Walton says will get better with time. It's something that they're working on, but I don't think we expect it to be immediately corrected. I'll put it this way, and I know I'm down on the Sacramento Kings right now just based off of their history and how this game here went today and the 0-3 start. But if the New Orleans Pelicans and the Kings come down to the wire, I really like the Pelicans' chances. I'll just say that.
You poor guy. Before we get a prediction from you, I just want to touch on 2 last things. Of course, the untimely injury to Marvin Bagley that kept him to just 13 games this season was devastating. Of course, you have so many hopes tied into the number 2 overall pick. In his place, Rashawn Holmes, you mentioned, has been playing really well, if you don't mind touching a bit upon him. But before you do that, obviously, you've got Alex Len back there. You've got Nemanja Bjelica, I hope I pronounced that right, who is very lethal from 3-point range. Now, when Holmes sits, who is taking over that small ball 5 role? Is it Harry Giles? Is it Bjelica? How do you guys supplement that position?
It depends on the lineups. Alex Len returned. He played in his first game today of the bubble, only played 3 minutes. Harry Giles played the majority of the backup 5 minutes, although Bjelica did get some time there as well. It just depends. So when the Kings want to space the floor, it'll be Bjelica. A lot of the times it was Harry Giles, who's had some great minutes and also some terrible minutes. Harry, in the first half of this game, was setting some of the best screens I've ever seen him set. He was aggressively attacking the basket. He was involved. Second half of this game, he couldn't secure a rebound to save his life, and it resulted in multiple second, third, fourth chance opportunities for the Dallas Mavericks, and that ended up being a major difference in this game. So I would expect you'll probably see a majority of Bielitsa and Harry Giles as kind of the backup five when Rashawn Holmes comes out of the game. But Holmes is now fouled out in two of these three contests, and Luke Walton said after the game that when Rashawn Holmes fouled out for a really ticky-tack foul, by the way, the Mavericks shot 50 free throws to the Kings' I think 16, which is ridiculous. So I'm not blaming all of that on the officials, because the Kings made a lot of stupid fouls and kind of walked themselves into a lot of their mistakes. But the final foul on Rashawn Holmes was a terrible foul call that forced the Kings to go small, and they ended up losing the game because of it, at least according to Luke Walton. So if Rashawn Holmes is able to stay in the game, he's a major impact, and he was the only one really aggressively attacking the glass for the Kings in this game. But when Rashawn Holmes is out of the game, that's where you see guys like Luka Doncic getting 20 freaking rebounds. So the depth of the big man right now, which we didn't expect to be a problem going into this season, has become a problem. It's such a shame about Marvin Bagley, because he was performing really well in practice. So we're told we were going to get a good opportunity to see him play some pretty significant minutes. He's only played 13 games for the Kings this season. Obviously, it had a ton of setbacks injury-wise since being selected number two overall, a move that I'm sure everybody knows the Kings wish that they had back. It's been a tough road for him. It's been a tough road for the Kings, and they just try and continue to fight through the bad luck that has plagued this franchise.
All right, I'll get you out on this. Thank you so much for your time, Matt George. So five games left. It's not the most difficult slate. You've got the Pelicans, you've got the Nets, which should be a gimme. You've got the Rockets, which is going to be a tough one, depending on where they're seated at the time. Who knows what they've got to play for. You got the Pelicans again, and then you've got the Lakers on August 13th. And you'd have to think at that point, they're probably going to be resting guys and just getting prepared for the playoffs, which will then start 4 days later. Give me the pulse of the Kings locker room right now. Is this the type of team that's going to respond to a loss like this, come out guns blazing? Or do you feel like their momentum has kind of just been stopped dead in its tracks?
I think today was the response. I think the Kings came out and gave as good of an effort as they possibly could, with a couple of exceptions, after being embarrassed by the Orlando Magic, and they still lost. Luka Doncic said after the game that he thinks this is the worst game the Mavericks have ever played, and they still got the win. What does that say about the the Kings are... I think they still have more fight in them. They're not going to give up. De'Aaron Fox said after the game today that they're going to keep holding on to the rope. They're going to keep fighting. There's no quit in this team. I'll believe it when I see it, but I like that from the Kings leader. But we have seen this team give up when games aren't going their way, and especially if shots aren't falling. So it's stupid that the Kings still have a chance. After starting this bubble 0-3, I thought they'd be dead in the water, but lo and behold, here we are. The Kings still mathematically have a chance, and teams are struggling. I did not expect the Pelicans to go 1-2 in their first three games, that's for sure. So I was really excited, truly, about these two meetings between the Pelicans and the Kings going into this bubble. Now they're still very important games, and I hope the Kings make the most out of them. But they don't carry the weight that we thought they would, at least heading into this. I really thought that we were going to be looking at the two teams with the best chance to challenge the Grizzlies for that eighth seed, battling it out to see who is going to be the team to take them on in a play-in round. Now we're looking at both teams needing these wins just to survive and leapfrog Portland and San Antonio, which is just crazy to think about. So that's the state that we're in. I like the Pelicans' chances. I'll just say that the Kings need to respond. If they're going to figure anything out, they need to fix it very, very quickly. If the first three games are any indication, it's going to be a long bubble period and a long final couple of weeks.
You poor guy. You guys can follow him at Matt George, KHTK. He is the host of Locked On Kings, in addition to Sacramento Sports Radio 1140 KHTK. Matt, thanks so much for your time. Is there anything else you want our listeners to know about you, or anything else they can find out about you?
Yeah, I'm normally a lot more of a positive, happy. I promise. I have a Sacramento Kings jersey in my a closet that says optimism on the back, because for the 2018-2019 season, I was very optimistic about these Kings' chances. This year has killed a lot of the Kings' momentum, a lot of it self-inflicted wounds. And it sometimes is just exhausting, even as a fan or as a media member covering the team regardless. Kings basketball has been tiresome for this community for many, many years, but we try and be positive. We try and have fun on Locked On Kings. We try and have fun on Sports 1140 KHDK. So no, I am not Eeyore with a dark cloud over me everywhere I go. You just caught us here in Sacramento at a very down time, but hey, there's still time to turn it around. And I am truly very happy to have basketball back. I'm very happy to be able to talk sports, and I'm really looking forward to watching Zion play. The Pelicans were one of my favorite teams to watch this season, not named the Sacramento Kings.
Well, I'll be honest with you, Matt. We really appreciate you giving us your time, because after the Clippers matchup on Saturday night, there was no way we were doing a recap pod. Sometimes it's just too difficult to be an NBA fan, and you just have to give yourself some space until you get into, I don't know, hopefully you'll be feeling better tomorrow morning, a little more positive. If you can spin these into wins against the Pelicans, that'll go a long way. You're just a game back of the ninth seed and out of the play-in tournament. The Grizzlies have lost all three matchups. You never know. And that's how we're taking this, because we got that win that we needed against the Grizzlies. If we had lost that game, oh boy, it would have been Storm Central over here as well. So best of luck to you, my friend. Hopefully the Pelicans steal this one, but if they don't, I'll be happy for you, man, because it seems like Kings fans sure could use a victory right now.
Let me put it this way. It won't be the Pelicans that are stealing a win if any win stealing is happening. It'll be the Sacramento Kings. But I appreciate it. It's a pleasure to join you, a pleasure to talk to you. I wish the Pelicans the best of luck, even if I'm hoping they lose to the Kings. But it's been a pleasure, so thank you.
Thank you for listening to The Bird Calls on the Armchair All-American Network. If you like what you're hearing, please take a moment to rate us on iTunes, retweet, share with your friends, and most importantly, subscribe today. Black lives matter, and we're continuing to do our part here at The Bird Calls. That's why we've created the Armchair All-American Scholarship. Thanks to contributions from Armchair, myself, Music is My Refuge, R. Anders 36, Andrew Juge, Ralph Malbro, and many more, Armchair Media will be issuing four $500 scholarships per semester to aspiring Black creatives. The criteria is African-American, under 21, and in a creative field. To apply, send something you've created, whether photography, art, music, anything, to scholarship@armchairallamericans.com. We can't wait to see your application.